Jesus says in the Gospels to Pilate, "For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" This question is common even today. What is truth? The world says truth depends upon the person. It's all relative. It depends on the presuppositions and beliefs of the individual. And this belief hasn't stayed outside of the church. There are those who claim to be Christians, and they think truth about God is relative. And so any church body claiming to have the pure doctrine must be deceiving you. Probably you've heard it said. All churches are the same, and none of them have the right to claim possession of the truth over and above another. What is truth? Far from a harmless question, it was Pilate's way of saying, "I do not know you." The question implies doubt, and it conveys the idea that either truth doesn't exist or we can't discover it this side of heaven. Questions on the essence of truth undermine the testimony of Jesus because our Lord did not come into this world to confuse us. He did not come into this world to leave us to speculate and doubt. You've heard me say it, the season of Advent is about our Lord's return. And he has left us his holy word to hear his voice, to know we are forgiven despite our wretched sins. God didn't inspire the ancient writers of old to pen his words for us to learn and to digest and to make sure that we're good on our doctrine, only for God to turn around and say, "Ha, just kidding. You can't really know me." One can't separate truth from the gospel. Because Christ says he bears witness to the truth. He even says in John's Gospel, you know this passage, "I am the way, I am the truth, and the life." To ask what is truth is to say, who is Christ? You cannot separate truth from the person and testimony of Jesus. You deny the truth, and you deny the gospel. As we wait in this season of Advent for our Lord to come, Christian, you possess something already, and that is you have God's word, and you have truth, his truth in that word. And you know the world is hostile to this truth, because the true word of God cuts our hearts, doesn't it? It fillets us, it exposes our sins, calling us to repentance and faith. And when the word of God clashes with the soil of man's heart, sometimes the response is suffering and death for the ambassador of that truth. Think of it this way. Proclaimers of God's truth might not survive an encounter with an unbelieving crowd. Look at Stephen. Look at Paul. Look at the Christian martyrs. Look at Jesus and his death. And so do we run and hide? No. We confess. We confess this truth. We confess what we see here in Isaiah chapter 2. Our Lord will come. He will come again. And when he does, he will judge between the nations. There will be sheep and there will be goats. The sheep inherit life eternal. The goats are excluded from his kingdom. We have this truth, Christian. We can confess it. We can assert it. Martin Luther wrote a monumental work. No, not the Small Catechism. Maybe you've heard of it. The Bondage of the Will. The Bondage of the Will. And in the Bondage of the Will, Luther says this. He says, "Take away assertions, and you take away Christianity. To be Christian is to confess the saving truth of Jesus. From now until he comes again." The Holy Spirit, says Luther, is no skeptic. We have not been given over to skepticism and questioning. We have been given the truth, the saving message of Christ for our sins. Isaiah talks about our Lord coming. And when he does, finally, no more wars, no more bloodshed, no more tears, no more suffering. And I've said this lately because it is an Advent theme, and that is when he comes again, he says to his people, his saints, you can hold your head high when I come again because your redemption is drawing near. That the Old Testament bears witness to Christ. That we see Isaiah talking about Jesus, testifying to Jesus that he will come again and put an end to all the bloodshed and suffering once and for all. That need not surprise us. Jesus tells us. He tells us the Old Testament testifies to him. So to see Jesus in the Old Testament, no big deal. No big deal. He tells the Pharisees, if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. He tells his disciples, everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. The Old Testament, friends, it points to our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is truth. You can count on it. He will come again. And you might be asking yourself, why all this talk about truth? Why bring in a passage when Jesus is talking to Pontius Pilate? That sounds like an Easter passage. The reason is simply this. Because Jesus Christ not only testifies that he is the truth, but that all mankind is held accountable by that truth. We have here in Isaiah 2 the passage, he shall judge between the nations and shall decide dispute for many peoples. O come, house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Friends, our Lord will come. And know that everyone is accountable to our Lord and our God. So don't think your actions and your smooth tongue can talk your way out of God's judgment. They cannot. Flattery, pious facades cannot mask the darkened heart before God. He judges according to his righteousness, according to his standard, his truth, not ours. When it comes to facades, fake piety, hypocrisy in the church, we think of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, enemies of Jesus who lived and died by the law of Moses. Convincing as they might have been to the public, their pious, holy exterior did nothing to hide their unbelief before our righteous God. He knew all about them. He knew their filthy works. He knew their human righteousness. Human righteousness is very different from God's righteousness. These things do not hold up before our Lord. He knows the heart. He knows what is within it, and he judges according to his righteousness. And so the world can say what it wants. The world can try to change God's words and decrees, and try it will. The world will try, and it does develop its own standard of what is right and what is wrong. The wisdom of man pretends to be the wisdom of God, but it is not. Friends in Christ, I'm talking about the importance of God's truth because it's vital in this time of waiting, in this Advent. It's vital you know what it is. It's vital that you know his divine word of truth. The only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, and that he will come again. He will come to judge and take his people to be with himself for eternity. The world will tempt you and say, what is truth? The world will tempt you and say, marriage can be whatever we say it is. The world will tempt you when it says abortion is a fundamental right. The world will tempt you when it says all religions are the same. They all have the truth. They'll all get you there just fine. These standards and others like them are set by the world, not by God. Beware. Our Lord comes to judge. He will put an end to all wars, to all suffering and death, and he will judge according to his word and his way. Facades cannot hide our sins any more than denying his judgments against us suddenly make us innocent. His truth stands and his word will not pass. But friends in Christ, though we wait for his coming, I mentioned earlier that we possess something right now. Not only do we possess his promise that he will come again one time and judge with equity, he will put an end one time to all injustice, he will make all things right that are wrong, he will take his people from this place, he will establish a new heavens and a new earth. Those are promises we can look forward to. But even more than that, you have something right now. You have a Savior who took your sins to Golgotha and paid for those sins by his bloody sacrifice on the cross for you. And by that atoning work, Christian, you live right now as one who is forgiven. Your great transgressions, your iniquities before God, even those ones that stick in your mind that don't seem to leave, those sins too have been put to death by the death of Jesus. He has done it. He has conquered sin. He has conquered death. You are redeemed and forgiven in his peace. This is your gift right now as you look forward to him to come again. And when he comes, you can rest in peace, knowing salvation has been won for you. And when he comes, what you have to look forward to is life everlasting. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all human understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.